Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Connor, I'm in agreement with you.
So, there's been a disruption here for us at Woodmore Stock. The ice cream truck is now blocking
our view. It's blocking our perfect view and
of this stage. Yeah, it was really...
And now Fred Finstone is blocking our view. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a really great view of this one stage, and then all of a sudden the ice cream truck pulled up. And I thought maybe we could persuade him to move, but I walked over there, and the line is about 20 people deep.
Right, so yeah. It's going to be a while until everybody has their ice cream. But we got ice cream, thanks to Sam.
Intern Sam bought us some ice cream sandwiches, and that was wonderful.
Thank you, Sam.
So we're here at Woodmore Stock. We are podcasting here on Rock of the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we're talking to some cool people and these guys who just joined us today. We have members of
you
Dot Dash.
Spread it out. The cool and the uncool.
Hi, Dot Dash.
They have rights, too.
You can lean, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Hi, Dot Dash. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey.
Doing well.
It's here. Terry, Danny, and Hunter.
You've got all of Dot Dash, actually.
Yeah.
Not just some of Dot.
And you guys are playing this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so just what's new with Dot Dash?
We played a show just two nights ago with a band from England called the Amazons at Quarry House. That was fun, and we have a bunch of new songs for what it's worth.
Great.
And
new songs since the last time we talked about new songs.
Yeah, we have like six or seven. I think we're playing five today.
Wow.
For what it's worth, why not? Too much free time on our hands. I don't know. We're going to play. I think we're playing at Fort Reno in July 24th, I think. And
fantastic.
You know, just keeping on, keeping on.
That is a D.C. summer institution, Fort Reno. Fort
Reno.
Yeah,
it's been going since 68.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Pretty crazy.
No, I did not play the show since 68.
Nobody insinuated that.
He was off at college. He couldn't play the shows.
It was a crazy summer. Chicago riot, the whole Democratic convention.
That's right.
You had to represent, though. I mean,
he did. But Terry,
Chicago 8, wasn't it?
I'm interested in this because we had you guys on not that long ago, and we went through the new album track by track. We talked about all the different songs. People can go back and listen to that. And you're writing some more stuff. So, man, how much do you write? Like, what is your songwriting process like? And is it something that you like? Have to do? Is it something do you approach it?
I just enjoy it, and the fact that Danny and Hunter are into it. We just have fun doing it, and you get a couple, and then a couple more come from that. And these are all, like, the exception of one, these are all really really fast and hooky and rocking. And like the last one, I was kind of being more conscious, like, let's have some fast one. Now let's have a more these are all just like, they're just like the rockin' ones, for better or worse. So
snappy, happy,
Yeah. So
lover's lament.
I just like doing it, and they happen fast, and these guys are easy to make music with. So we're super obscure and underground. We don't have any delusions about it beyond that, but it's fun to do.
By the time one of our records comes out, within a month or two, we pushed half of the set out from that album. We're already working on the next record set. Yeah. So.
And we make the records in literally, the person mixing them might take a long time, but we record them in literally like 2 days. So it never feels indulgent, like, oh God, get a life. We do it pretty lean.
Are you looking to go in and record again?
Maybe in the fall, if these guys are into it, I could see us being ready in the fall. Maybe, if they're into it.
I'm ready now.
Live from Woodmore Stock. Have you guys played an event like this before? One of these Port Shore type community things where it's kind of spread out in a neighborhood?
I don't think so. We've played at Fort Reno a few times, which is not, which is different than this. And
Adams Morgan.
Oh yes.
Yeah, we played on a sidewalk
twice
at 18th and Columbia.
Yeah, there used to be this woman who did this thing.
And I got heat stroke, and somebody had to go to the Starbucks and get ice.
Danny had a chunk of ice on his head, and it was melting, and it started to look like a tiara.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And he would just be sitting there, and it was like this triangular piece of ice.
Jeez.
And then we did that show with that friend of yours at that outdoor show. Your friend that we also played her birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
She has a band.
And I know who you mean. Yes, Debbie.
Yeah, we did some sort of outdoor show there.
So we have a few, but this is great. I'm thrilled to be invited to play it. It's great.
Well, how does it feel to play during the day as opposed to, you know, a normal rock and roll hour?
You know, we're night people, Jim and Patrick. We don't care what the man says. No, I like it. I really like it. I think it seems great. I'm all for it.
Playing early means that I can get to early bird when the show is over.
There you go.
So I think it seems cool.
Saving you. I'm stealing all your best material.
Yeah, he's cracking on himself, so I don't have a chance. Terry, tell him about that new one that you wrote about Danny's orthodonture.
It's called Fragments and Slivers. Now, it's not about Danny's teeth, but Hunter said it was, which is just the kind of cruelty that exists in this band. And then I always go along with it. It's like a thing where I just join in, but then I act like, oh, that's terrible, but I'm actually just fully in. You know? Yeah. Lord of the Flies, like, there'll be a bad guy, and then there's another guy's like, hey, don't do that.
Right.
Yeah. I'm that guy.
We were interviewing the Heavy Editors a little while ago. Mm-hmm. They're a trio as well, and they talked about their actual point where they come together on a record that's out, being the Fire Hose Live Totem Pole record.
Mm-hmm.
What for Dot Dash? Is there a record that comes to mind where you guys all sort of converge and are in agreement that it's perfect and great?
I believe, as they would say on Philadelphia Talk Radio, you mean agreeance.
Agreeance. I'm in agreeance.
That last caller kind of stole my thunder a little bit.
I'm in agreeance with him.
I think
Hunter,
we all,
I'm in agreeance with you.
That's good to know. I think I can safely say we all like the Jam.
Yeah.
I think that's that is common ground.
I think we all like, it's a lot of like, it's, you know, it's ancient now, but late 70s, early 80s, you know, the Jam, and I tend to like jangly stuff like Orange Juice and early REM, which these guys appreciate, but it's not, I mean, not quite their thing, but we love the Jam and the Buzzcocks and stuff like that. And you
can see that. Yeah, absolutely. We're in agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Orange Juice is a band that I don't know how many of our listeners know about, and I don't know if we've ever done a show or any content on it, but that's a group that everybody, at least the main, you know, mm-hmm. folks that we know in our community would love the heck out of. I mean, it's just such an incredible band. It really is.
The second album, not to be like a know-it-all, but why not? the second, like, if someone went to the second album, they'd be like, what are they talking about? Because like, the second album, except for a song called Louise Louise, which is amazing, but like, the first album is great, the third record, the Texas Fever thing, the fourth one, the But for me, the first major label one, You Can't Hide Your Love Forever, and then then this one called Oscar's Churchyard came out in the early 90s, but was really before the first one.
Right.
Those two, and then that was reissued as the Glasgow School. I love them. Yeah. But the second one, they sort of went like uber producer-y or whatever, but they had a hit with Rip It Up. But anyway, I do love them.
Yeah.
Jim and Patrick, I think you found your next guest commentator
yeah,
for when
I think
you
so.
Do a segment on
Orange Juice Week. More. Yeah, Orange Juice Week is coming up. Yeah.
Now, since Hunter already did Warren Zevon and
Hardcore Week.
Speaking of Zevon, Hunter, earlier today a band covered Laurie's Guns and Money right up here.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder, is that sort of the quintessential live, you know, cover, Zevon cover, you know what I mean? Like the song that you that a cover band should play of his?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. It's a great song, and his live versions of it were great. If you listen to Stand in the Fire, there's one where sort of like they go into this extended vamp at the end, but it actually sounds like Fugazi. There's like a lot of muted guitar, and then there's like a cool guitar lead that comes in. You certainly can't go wrong with that one. You know, if you were to tell me I had to cover a Warren Zevon song, I would go with like something kind of weird, like Gorilla or Desperado. That one I always like. We talked about that, right? Where the gorilla steals his life and is unhappy with it and tries to give it back.
Yes.
I hate to be a buzzkill, but we do have to be on stage in 10 minutes, so we should.
Oh, okay, wrap. Okay.
You know how our manager is.
Yeah.
He's always trying to usher us off.
Can we
1 minute's walk away?
And white.
No.
And this, and he's got his shades on.
I hope you notice that it being after Memorial Day, I am truly rocking the Puff Daddy all white look.
Yeah, he looks very rock star. Before you go, though, you have to answer a question from the bag of questions, randomly drawn.
Right.
Oh, that's going to take too long. Okay, here we go. And I'm talking music-wise. I'm talking band here, not biology. Who is your favorite monkey?
I think I like Mike, the kind of angry monkey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be Mickey Dolenz. He was a drummer, and he was the best singer in the band as well. So.
He's the worst. Mickey's the worst of them.
No. I'm with Terry. I got to go Mike. I saw the Monkees at the Warner Theater like 2 years ago or so,
really?
And I was so glad I did because Mike Nesmith died like 3 weeks later.
Wow.
Right. And in the show, he was always sort of like pretty angry. Like the other, like Davey was being cute, and Mickey was wacky, and Peter was sort of like dreamy and like comic relief. And Mike was just sort of like for a kid's show, he was just sort of angry.
Yeah, there was something going on.
I kind of like.
He was the exception to the sort of. Terry always likes to ask me when we're playing with somebody and they're wearing a hat. Terry always goes, "What do you think they got going on?"
You're the one who says that. That is total projection. That is wow.
Anyway,
that is really,
Mike Nesmith
really, that is
actually
projection.
Had something going on underneath that hat.
Yeah,
he didn't need to wear it, but he did.
I can't believe you just
longshoreman
projected
chic.
Your behavior onto me.
All right, thanks very much, Dot
Dash.
Thank
you.
Thank
you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Go rock.
Have a good set.
Woodmore.
I would love to do
All right, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
Oh, I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to y'all later.
I saw it there. Do you know?
Playing early means that I can get to early bird